Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the final word show and it is preview week as well. So if you join us on YouTube for this show and the whole clutch of other amazing shows that we normally have exclusively on the RedMenTV.com, then welcome. You'd be wondering for ages when I go over to the RedMenTV.com and watch this and this. These are the shows you get to see now. If you were too lazy just to go over and start the normal 3 month trial, here we go. But yes, what a time and place to be and start this with a 4-0 Liverpool win over Bournemouth. Tom joins me in the place of Chris Page, whose birthday it is today, and he is really, really ill.
Yeah,
bless him.
Yeah,
I mean, not like terminally, so don't get too upset. I mean, hopefully he's fine. Like
he came in the other day, Paul, and he soldiered through the post match content and watching the goal celebrations and him going, it's great.
Yeah, we are. It feels like we had a lot of it because probably Ross, you were ill as well. What did we do in Paris? Because it seems
drank
to be
a lot.
Parisian AIDS. Yeah.
It's Lauren. Lauren was ill first. She brought it into the office.
Ah,
we've narrowed it down. Yeah,
there
yeah.
we go. But anyway, doesn't bode well for Mr. James Sutton, who joins us.
It's like a petri dish.
You've just come back from illness yourself, haven't you?
I have. I'm getting over it, and I've come here, and it's just like I can see it in the air. Like everyone who is horrible.
Yeah, but anyway, James, great to have you back for a start, mate. It's been far too long.
It has been a really, really long time. Thank you for inviting me back when we're top of the league as well. I really appreciate that.
Yes. Wonderfully dropped in there, mate. Yeah. Perfect. In fact, it's going to be very difficult not for us to just talk exclusively about the fact that Liverpool are top of the Premier League, but we are going to keep our powder dry for a little while because let's get through it. There wasn't much. Liverpool won 4-0. It would be very, very unfair on the lads who put a great shift in at the weekend, not just yous here.
Oh, yeah.
Soldiering through with the sick Chris. But also the lads on the pitch. So we will talk through some of the key points on there first before we talk about the fact that, as you know, our time filming Liverpool are top of the pile.
Head of who, Paul?
Everyone, Tom.
Ooh, yeah, is that Man City second?
Including the greatest team in the world.
That's mad, isn't it?
See with a circle around it.
But they're not now because we're top.
Apparently so. We're crap, mate. Ooh. We're crap.
We haven't even clicked yet, Paul.
Tom, no Lovren or Gomez, men Matip and Milner. What were your thoughts at the time when you saw the team
come? I was a bit worried with Matip, the way he played against Burnley, but you'd figure, look, we're going to have a lot of the ball, even though it was Bournemouth, you're thinking, all right, we're still going to put our stamp on it. You need a ball-playing centre-half, and I thought John Matip was brilliant. When he didn't have the pass, he strode out, he was confident, he was brave, and that was what was missing from his Burnley performance. He liked to pass it too much to Van Dijk, maybe pass it off, and when he tried to do that, he didn't even get it to the man he wanted to, so it was a really nice step-up, I thought, of him just going, no, I'm going to go forward. There was a great moment where he ran up the channel, the right-hand channel, played it to whoever was on the right-hand side at that moment, and then got into the box. You're like, this is brilliant. It's an attacking mentality from our centre-half.
Yeah, I must admit, I was far more comforted by his performance this weekend, James. I think what we have, unfortunately, is we have this thing, I think, as fans, and not all of us and not all of the time, but it becomes into the common collective how we talk about our players. If a guy gets knocked down the pecking order, it's not because we've got other brilliant players and he's just less brilliant, it's because he's shit and he's terrible. And Joel Matip is one of those, has become one of those players where I don't think he's amazing, I don't think he's a world beast. I think he needs to be far more aggressive to be a truly top centre-back. But we're not too far removed from a world where we were talking about him being our best centre-back. And it was a good performance from him at the weekend.
It was his best performance, I think, ever for us.
Okay.
It really was. I can't think of him playing better than that. Yeah. Like you say, it was really confident. And actually, it was a really mature performance. I thought it was a really grown-up performance. It was very, you know, there was no mistakes, man. It was really, really solid. And it's, you know, it's testament to this squad now that there's players like that that are interchangeable, can come in. And yes, we see the team, you know, line up, and you think, oh no, don't do that. And but actually, it's, you know, it works perfectly.
Yeah, I think I've had ghetto comments actually on Matip in particular. Ross, it was come from Majestic Clangers on the Instant Match Reaction. Thank you very much. I don't get why you talk about Matip like he's not a top defender. This is obviously you and Chris from the weekend, Tom. This time last year, he was our best defender. Matip was good enough to be in our starting 11. If he wasn't injured last season, he would have started in the Champions League final. Maybe the sheer brilliance of Van Dijk makes you reassess because he's in a different league. But if we're judging players by his standards, we'd never find him a centre-back partner. I think we're absolutely blessed to have three top-quality centre-backs, and Lovren isn't as bad as people make out either. The other thing with Matip is that we've only really seen him play with Mignolet and Karius behind him, and usually with Moreno or Milner at left-back. The back line has improved so much in the last 12 months, I don't think bringing in Matip for Gomez weakens us at all. I have to disagree with the last statement, Ross, and it's only because I think Gomez is so good.
Yeah.
He's so good, and I think we've seen, I think that pairing of Van Dijk and Gomez is, I think that's a level above any other potential combinations that we've got. But I think it's a very good point, and I think in a general sense, it's easier for us to have these pleasant conversations about our squad depth when the team are actually being rotated and winning as well.
Yeah, we mentioned it before on the Man of Match podcast, the fact that he's our fourth choice centre-half. You take that all day, and you go back 2-3 seasons. You're picking a youngster, or Clavan, who's 40 something now, isn't he? Yeah. I think it was a bit Bournemouth played into his hands that he allowed him to play that game that Tom was talking about, because they had no Callum Wilson and he had no one to run him ragged. He kind of had the time on the ball. Whereas the Burnley game, I think he got bullied by Chris Wood. I can't remember who the centre forward is, but that's not his game. That's one of his faults. Like, he's a centre half, but he's not like a Van Dijk or a Lovren where he'll throw himself into a tackle. He needs to have the ball at his feet to wipe out midfield, and you saw that with the first goal. You know, he had the time, and he'll just wipe out a whole midfield.
Yeah. Yes. Again, this is the thing, isn't it? He's absolutely fine. No one's going to sit here and say, you know, and go mad on the virtues of Joel Matip, but it speaks to the quality of depth that we've got on. And it's, again, this is my point. It's so easy. It's much easier to make that when you've just won three games in a week. We've rotated and we've ended it on such a high note in terms of scoring the four goals as well, and he's put a decent shift in. We can start to look at all of those fringe players really and go, we rotated last year, and that was when we started to draw games and we were dropping important points. Yeah. We're rotating players and still winning. We don't need these guys to come in and be world class. We just need good quality players because, and there's a point that Pajax made a lot in recent weeks, everyone's having to play two games a week now. And our rotation players are better than, even if those other teams don't rotate, our fit rotation players are much better than their first choice unrotated players.
Yeah, and that's by virtue of us just taking the first teamers that we had, buying better players than them, and then going, you can come on when we need you to. And that's the best way to do it. We said it when we brought in all these midfielders in terms of Keita and Fabinho and players like that. We're just going, okay, these players who've gotten us to finals before, these players who've done the business for Jurgen Klopp, just be in the wings, just be there. You're the players that they're going to be learning off, but expect to be taken out of the first team. And I was really worried when Gomez got injured. Yeah. Genuinely, I thought this could be a massive blow. He's been so good for us, so consistent. And then you're thinking, okay, Joel Matip's coming in. I do rate him, and Lovren's there. I rate him as well, but he's just been so good on the ball. It's nice to see people stepping up and being able to go, no, I'll take this, and I want to be in a winning team too.
Go for it, and don't forget the best back lines is a partnership.
Yeah.
You know, if you go back, you know, through history, the best teams, the best, you know, look at the Manchester United teams, for example. It was always that pairing. So you find that pairing, and that's it. That's your mainstay. That doesn't change.
Yeah.
So anyone coming in and out and replacing anyone, you know, if Gomez or Virgil, it's always going to be frowned upon. It's never going to work as well because they don't change.
Yeah.
You know, barring injury, they're playing every game.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the Matip thing. He was coming at a couple of games, he's played back-to-back, and lo and behold, he's gotten a bit better at footy because he's played a couple of games at footy. Yeah, now, shocked. Yeah. You know these things, we watch football all the time, why don't we think about these things? Because, ultimately, to answer my own question, is that we like the immediacy of football, I think. Well, I say we like, it's just what football is, it's how people analyse football. You've got to be amazing every week on the spot at all times. Otherwise, you're somehow not good enough. And maybe Ross is a little bit of that. Matip was maybe like the prototype of Van Dijk for us to some extent. You know, we bought him as that comprehensive, commanding, ball playing centre half, and Van Dijk, you know, as mentioned by Mr. Majestic Clanger, Van Dijk has reset the bar ultimately, but that's no shame for anyone else who falls beneath it. He's just very good.
I think the deal with Matip as well, because he was free, it was kind of like he was risk free in that sense, wasn't it? Like, if it doesn't work out, you can go get someone else. But Klopp was always adamant he wanted his man. Mm-hmm. So why go and spend £30 million on someone where you can get someone for free? To what was essentially the start of him rebuilding the squad, which is now paying dividends because what he's done is improved every year. But you need to give credit to Klopp as well for creating healthy competition. Yeah. So these people are coming off the wings. They're not pissed off and not unhappy. They know they've got a job within the squad to go, well, Gomez is injured, Matip, you're in. Come show me your worth. Come show me your worth now. Well, you can play for 2-3 weeks.
It shows the rest of the squad as well, James, that yes, you're on the fringes now. And look, if everyone stays fit, you know, all you're gonna have to do is train every week, get paid handsomely, and pick up a Premier League winning medal. But you know, if the situation demands it, and we do get injuries, you're gonna come in and there are gonna be expectations placed upon you. You're gonna get game time. Now, like John, we'll all probably want Gomez to walk straight back into this team when he comes back fit. And fair enough, but you know, Matip started as the partner for Van Dijk in January last year, and then he lost that. Through injury or whatever. I think he got injured against, it was later on, I know he got injured against Crystal Palace and what have you. He lost that place to Lovren and he never quite got it back. So he'll be thinking, I'm in now. That's on him, and that's called healthy competition for places. That's a good thing for us.
Absolutely, and it creates that competitive environment. But also, it seems from the outside looking in that there's just a really good vibe around this club at the moment, and every player is really excited to take their chance. And actually, you know, there's as far as I can tell, there's not been any, no one's been moaning. There's no bad attitudes. Everyone seems and all really willing and able to take their chance and their opportunity when they get it.
Yeah,
which again is testament to Jurgen Klopp and the players that he's brought in.
You talk about the level and players coming in and having to play at a level. You saw with every single substitute that came on, they played to the level of we're winning 4-0, and it didn't drop at all. Henderson comes in. I can't remember right off the top of my head who came in, but they were all absolutely
Henderson,
on the game.
Lallana and Mane.
Yeah, Lallana was fantastic. Lallana does great. When he came on. Brilliant. Got in as soon as he came on. I think he just went in for a tackle, won us a corner or a throw-in or something. And you're thinking, that's the tenacity you need. You're seeing the players ahead of you on the pitch and they've already won the game. Mm. Go out there and show that, no, you deserve to be a starting figure in this
we're
team.
We're starting to see the thing, aren't we, where we've got two massive games coming up this week. Obviously, Napoli and Man United. And we'll get a clear idea of how he's going to go, what he's doing. You'd imagine he'd go very, very strong for both of those games. Mm. But this is the thing. We are resting. We're resting in rotation. We're not. We're getting these guys minutes on the pitch. We're spinning plates. Yeah. We're getting guys up to speed. You know, and that's so clever. And like I say, I'm so pleased that we're able to, because it's harder to make this case a month ago when we look like we're faltering a little bit, and everyone feels a little bit more down in the dumps about it. Why are you playing? You know, Belgrade. Like I wasn't happy with Sturridge and Lallana starting that game, and it did slow us down. I thought too much, but. This is again. It's a squad game, it's why you shouldn't let your head fall. Why we shouldn't be getting carried away with ourselves, the same way you shouldn't let your head fall off when it doesn't quite go your way. James Milner, Tom. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest, because some people know, I was hosting the Pro Evo event, so I only watched the game back last night. This morning, I haven't watched the highlights and what have yet. When I saw the team sheet though, I was so comforted by James Milner right back. It's like getting in and you're feeling a bit poorly, and your missus has made you a hot chocolate and got a blanket out there and goes, go on, here you go. And just like, because I could have been a bit worried about the right-back situation, because you mentioned the knock-on effect of Gomez is not just losing a centre-half, it's losing cover for Trent Alexander-Arnold as well.
Well, there was talk, is it going to be him, is it going to be Fabinho playing right-back? And there was a big debate, but in the office, all over Twitter. Milner's just brilliant. You play him anywhere. And we saw him play left back. He's so comfortable there, but he fills in anyway. When he's in the midfield, he fills in there. He filters in when the fullbacks go up, and it's telling. A few times I've seen the side that we attack up most,
the fullback goes up, Milner goes to that side of the midfield because we just trust him that much more. And he just did it with aplomb, didn't he? He was fantastic again. He never puts in a bad performance.
Yeah.
And to me, at his age, doing it consistently, he's one of the best players in the squad. It's unbelievable.
I'm going to level with you. I absolutely 100% disagree. I thought he was terrible at right back. I thought he was poo.
Compared to like,
but here's the thing. I'm not arsed.
Yeah.
Like I don't think it was a great right back performance. Yeah. I thought he misplaced passes. He looked out of his depth. He was late to tackles and all this kind of stuff. I was not like, panic stationed. Yeah. We never felt weaker for having him there because he's such a calming influence. He's such a textbook pro. And this is the thing, in the James, what it having him there is almost done is that it's taken a bit of the pressure off putting him in midfield to some extent as well. Like, we could do a number of options. Like we could bring up the kid whose name's completely gone, Rafa Camacho. We could play Camacho right back in pre-season. We could put Camacho in it right back and be like, is he going to be good enough to play at this level, etc., etc.? Milner might only be like a 6 out of 10 right back, but fine. And it means that we're having finally started to blood Fabinho into midfield. We're not like, right, mate, soz, you're now playing at right back, etc. Again, it's another one where it shows the depth of the squad.
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree. I don't think it was a great performance. I don't think it was maybe as bad as I think you're being a little bit harsh. But yeah, I mean, it's just so reassuring to have a player like that that can play pretty much anywhere, and he's not going to make any massive mistakes, and it's also the influence he has on the rest of the team as well, man. I know we've got Virgil van Dijk, very vocal, but someone like James Milner who's been there, bought the T-shirt, the influence that he has on especially the younger lads, man.
Well, he's not played right back apparently in the Premier League since 2009, so that.
Ridiculous. That's not bad if you've not played that position. He's not played that position
for the best part of a decade, and he's just gone in there. And like I say, when I'm critical of him, it's because I was watching. I feel so relaxed here. And then every time he did something, I was like, that was a bit late, or that he didn't quite make that there. But I was like, that's fine.
Where's he not played? Where's James? Is James Milner? I'm sure he must have played centre forward. He's probably playing in goal at some point.
I mean, I'd
be happy to have him as backup goalkeeper of Alston.
All day long. Yeah. Right back's hard, man. Yeah. I got put right back for a charity game at Anfield, genuinely, about 6 months ago, and it was bullshit. It was horrible. Just horrible. Didn't know where I was supposed to be.
It was as bad as when you played alongside Alan Kennedy in the one at Chester.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
No, it's not that one. What, when John Barnes told me I was shit?
Yes. And Alan, you basically got bullied by Phil Neal and Alan Kennedy and then refused to retake to the pitch. no, not a great day.
Yeah, no, I'm not the best pro, I'll be honest with you. But but right back's really, that's a really hard position, man.
Yeah, it is the worst position.
It's awful. Nobody wants to play that.
Yeah. I'm surprised how far up the pitch he was getting. Yeah, in the first half. You think he's 32, 33 years of age. I know he's a bit of a tank, like, but you're thinking he's like proper going for this.
What he did was he slotted in there perfectly. And whether it's for comedic purposes or not, about his performance.
Oh, let's create a talking point.
Well, yeah, exactly. What I mean, whether he was fine or whatever, ultimately he was fine. He was absolutely fine at right back. We're not talking about 10 out of 10 performance here. He was fine. He did cause no calamities. He didn't cause any like butterflies in stomach moments. He was absolutely sound at right back. He just fulfilled the role.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of him. He's played that season at left back, of course, and that's why no one really knows what the hell's going on with Nathaniel Klein. But I would rather have James Milner at right back than Nathaniel Klein, and which is mad because we're talking about an England international fullback here. But he's comfortable on the ball. He's got a range of passing. He's bloody determined. He's still got enough pace to get up and down if he needs to as well. He's got the leadership qualities, all that stuff. I mean, Ross, James Milner, it's fine.
Those same things will resonate with the rest of the squad when they see the lineup as well. Rather than thinking Matip's come in, he doesn't have to look after Camacho or someone else or Klein if he's not fully fit. He knows James Milner's there. That sound, I think James was trying to allude to before, was like his experience, his attitude just rubbed off on everyone else. It's like, right, he's there, he's there. He's just going to get a solid performance out of him.
You're not losing the fundamentals of your setup by putting James Milner in.
We used to play through him when he played left back. We used to play through him. He was the main focal point in the defence. It was, and now you're watching him, and then he moved to midfield, and you're like, are we going to lose that at left back? Robertson comes in, and he's amazing. So much better than I ever thought he was going to be. And it's a testament to the man. And you're seeing him pre-season running around, being the one who runs for the longest. And he is just the consummate professional. And you're right, talking about being someone that these young players can look up to. Even the older players can look up to him and be like, I want to keep playing in a top side when I'm 33, 32. And that's how you do it.
And doing the business.
Yeah,
exactly. And like I said, this was that moment very early on. You mentioned he gets forward, he supports the attack, gets a crossing. So he crosses into the opposition half. And he's got the ball. You're thinking, well, this guy's the assist king of the Champions League. Yeah. He can make something, so no qualms there whatsoever. He's putting in bone-crunching challenges in the midfield, so you don't worry about him going the other way. And he's got the game intelligence. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely fine. Like I say, big, just so pleasing to see how good we are flexing our squad muscles.
I bet Bournemouth might have seen that as a weak point as well. Yeah. Having Milner right back, and we'll go for it. It's like they never had a chance.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Just want to touch on the formation. I know you and Chris had a little, couldn't quite figure it out when you were doing the instant match reaction the other night. I actually, before I'd watched the full game, I actually watched your review of it back and then went back. And we started very 4-4-2. Mm. We then were very 4-2-3-1 for a lot. You could make a case that it was 4-2-2-2. I think the ultimate issue is that it's very, we had the two. It was definitely Gini and Fabinho in the midfield. It was definitely Mo Salah up top.
Yeah.
But then the other three kind of, it was situational wherever they needed to be. Shaqiri was wide right when he needed to be, but so often he was actually quite close to Keita drifting across.
Yeah.
Firmino went to partner Salah. Made us very difficult to pick up.
Well, when we attacked, our fullbacks played as left wingers. Yeah. So every time you looked at it, I remember thinking, where's James Milner yet? And we play the ball over the top line, and he was there, and I was like, wow, this is great. So we're letting those wide players in Shaqiri and Keita come into the channels, and that's where they're most effective, playing the little dink balls over the top. Obviously, you've got Salah and Firmino interchanging as the striker, and so they're letting people drop deep. The defenders don't know where they're going. They drop even deeper, and there was times when Fabinho and then Keita were on the line. So then you're thinking, what are the defenders picking up? Who do they think about? That's brilliant.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I mean, you just get to see just this fluidity in attack that I don't think we've had for a while. Mm. One touch play as well was amazing.
Yeah, absolutely, Ross. It's just it's very difficult. If we're watching it as fans who watch every game and analyse it and talk about it to the nth degree, and we struggle to understand what we're looking at. You know, and to be fair, Eddie Howe is obviously a far more tactically astute man than we'll ever be. But yeah, I mean that's the nature where we are. No one would have said going into that game they thought Keita would have played on from the left. Yeah. For Liverpool, because we've been saying it for weeks and we've seen no sniff of it, and then he's just going to play from the left, and did not look out of place on that left hand side at all. Double megged, you know what I mean? This guy's got skills for days. Looked an absolute natural fit out there. Shaqiri was causing problems. Tom mentioned those little dinked balls over the top. we just looked at a threat, no matter what shape we
it's
were
mad when we're talking about interchanging different players coming in. They just seem to have some sort of rhythm, didn't they, of just like knowing where they should be, which is probably game management of thinking when's the right time to go forward. I think Gini did it as well. Although he was with Fabinho at times, he'd bomb forward because he knows he's got Fabinho behind him. Yeah. He's picking the right moments. Everyone just seemed to consistently do, as did Robertson with the forwards tucking in. Shaqiri kept playing balls over that left-hand side to Robertson to knock in first time. You're supposed to do with your Bournemouth. You could, like, you're supposed to, you don't know who's supposed to mark. Yeah. And that bit you were about before with the triangle passing. Well, that was Robertson, Keita and Salah at one point, and he just took the piss out of them. Yeah. How are you supposed to defend that?
Yeah. Let's talk about Mo Salah, James. It stood out to me, initially watching the goals back, was his reaction to scoring the goals. Now, I watched it and I thought, I think people are going to make a big deal out of this, because it was very noticeable how he did not celebrate. He was just very stone faced throughout them, and initially I was like, ooh, a bit concerned. Apart from until I saw the moment where he tried that mad like spinning overhead kick for his hat trick and skied it and pissed himself laughing, and I was like, oh, okay. What are your thoughts on this?
I mean, you're talking to an actor here, man.
Yes.
Theatrics is, I mean, that's my, you know, that's my thing, man.
Yeah, best be, otherwise that's, someone's going to be paying you a lot of money for nothing in the coming weeks.
Exactly. There's one thing scoring a goal at Anfield or at home or away, anywhere for Liverpool. There's one thing scoring a goal. It's quite another to just stand there and just look around like, and what?
Yeah.
I'm all about that.
Yeah.
Love that. Absolutely love that. Are you not entertained?
Yeah.
Do you know? Absolutely.
Game facing it.
Game facing. Yeah, absolutely.
I think
people
that's
read.
It.
You know, people read. There could have been something going on behind the scenes. There could be any number of reasons why, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It really doesn't matter. And I know it'll get brought up, and it was brought up. It was all over social media.
Yeah. Yeah.
Loads of videos of him looking grumpy.
Yeah.
But he did the same against City in the Champions League when he scored at the Etihad. Yeah. Just right in front of him.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I love all that. You've noticed on here. Someone's commented about Zlatan and Cantona and Henry. Absolutely bang on. I love all that. I love players just standing there going, "What do you expect?"
Yeah. Well, that's the comment from Eman L says, "Guys, not look too much into this Salah not celebrating thing. Doesn't mean he's unhappy. Cantona and Henry rarely smiles. Zlatan rarely smiles. Ronaldo likes the odd cocky celebration. I think he's just showing he's the man. Just like City away, as Ross referenced, or West Bromway, for example. I think it's a bit of that. I also think there's a bit, Tom, he was just getting booted.
Yeah,
I'm not sure who he's eyeballing, but there's an angle of the set. I think it's either Cook or Ake, particularly for the first goal, because there's a later angle of the celebration where he's looking past the camera and he's properly staring, he's getting hugged, and he's staring someone out. And you see it for the second when Cook rakes his ankle.
Yeah, that's
he?
Nasty.
And he's raging, he grimaces, he keeps himself up, and he's just determined he stick it in the bottom corner. I think it's a bit of that. I think whether he's been getting a bit of needle or he's just been getting kicked all game and he's gone.
He gets kicked every game now, doesn't he, in the position he plays, which is, he's probably not used to that. I mean, he is now because he's played significant portion of the season in that position, but it must be a change of thing where he's just like, all right, I'm just going to score instead. The anger, Si said it so many times, and he's right, the anger he hits the ball with for the second goal, he's like, no, I'm scoring this. You just tried to cripple my leg. I'm scoring this goal. And I really enjoy seeing him just stand there because he's just showing that he can do it. You saw I'm not equating him with Balotelli because Balotelli was a twat, but Mo Salah's just stood there and gone, yeah, and what? I mean, he could.
Yeah.
He's just the best.
It's as I say, it's the moments out the game when you can see it. It's things like when Adam Lallana's getting treatment and he's over there. If he had a proper cob on, he was hating life. He'd just be off in the corner waiting for the game to restart or whatever. You know what I mean? And he's laughing when he's missing chances. He's doing this thing. I agree. I think there's a couple of things. I think the Champions League final, I think the fact that him getting hurt and having it sort of robbed from him.
Yeah.
So I think he takes it as a personal affront now when people are kicking him because he's like, what are you trying to, take me out of the game?
Yeah.
When you play centre forward, let's be honest, you're going to get more kicks. You know, it's a world of difference. When you're on the wing, you're out there, the game has to be brought to you. You know, there's no, a fullback doesn't stand on a winger because fullbacks move. you know, fullbacks will move over and they'll leave guys with space because they know they don't need to. That's, you know, your fullbacks will stay, you know, in touch with the centre halves and whatever. So you'll get left alone until the action comes to you. Yeah. As a centre forward, defenders will just kick you and poke you and niggle you all game long. So he probably hates playing centre forward, to be honest. He probably, you know what I mean? He's gone from that being this mercurial talent where he just gets to burst into life and run past people. You know, it's very hard to kick someone when they're already in full flight. Yeah. Whereas he's going from cold, he's having to hold the ball up, it's a more physical game with demanding of him. He probably is a bit annoyed with it all. But you know, the alternative is that he just hates hat-tricks. Which I can't imagine is the case.
Like. I miss it all. I miss his smiling face. Everyone's running over beaming, and you just want him to just have a beaming smile as well, because that was part of the fun of last season for me. Oh, is seeing every single player. We'd score like 6 goals a
game.
Would
you rather him do that or the fucking Griezmann celebration?
Not exactly. Doing Fortnite dances on the pitch because why play Fortnite with the England squad? Fuck off. just stand there like you're the man and everyone knows he's the man, and oh yeah, you're kicking him, well he's going to score and he's going to be angry about it and he's going to score another and then get his hat-trick and make you all look stupid. He made their whole back line look stupid with that last goal. Yeah. And so he's just like, yeah, I'm what? User shit, I'm boss.
Yeah, no, I love that. And he's dead right, isn't he? Tom's dead right, isn't he, Ross? He did, you know, it was a textbook centre-forward performance there. You know, if Fernando Torres, and I've been saying it for weeks now, if Fernando Torres puts in that performance, we're just marvelling at how wonderfully Nando it was. That's what Mo Salah is for us this season. He is a world-class number 9.
Yeah, I think that's what he's been doing in recent weeks. It's just not come off for him. You see him playing on the shoulder and getting in behind people. Okay, the first goal he's offside. But he's still got that determination and striker's instinct to get in there. And it's a new role for him, so he's trying to adjust to things. I think there was another example where Robertson hit a first-time cross, and he's running diagonally across 2-3 defenders. Again, how are you supposed to defend that? Yeah. But he's shown the intent to be in the right position to score the goals as a nine.
Last season, let's be honest. I'll be honest with everyone watching and listening at home as well. Last season was loads of fun, wasn't it? But we lost loads of games and we drew loads of games. Yeah. And there's a business-like quality about Liverpool at the moment. And I think Mo Salah fits into this. Because like, the third goal was very similar to the Porto goal when he juggles it. You know, different. That was loads more fun. There was like, there was something amazing about that when he's just taking the piss because we're just amazing and blah blah blah. There was a very, and his attitude, his demeanor was very business. Like Liverpool have been very business. Like it's like, we need to do this week in, week out now, lads. This is our job. Our job is just to be better than you. Our job is not for, no, we're here for a laugh. If we want to have a laugh, then we can laugh all the way to fourth. And probably out of the Champions League. Yeah. But you don't put all the hard work in that we've done to now to then go and lose to Bournemouth away from home. Because what's the point? What was the point of all that, the effort and the heartache and the kicks? What was the fucking point of it all? There was no, you completely undo everything you've done, and that's what I love about it. And Mo Salah, for me, James, completely typified that repurposing of our attitude this season.
That's what, yeah, it is. There's almost an emotionless quality to it, which is, I think, is what you mean when you say business like. It is very much this squad of lads are going to turn up and they're going to know exactly what they're going to do. No one's going to make a mistake. We're going to keep clean sheets every week, which is the focus of this season. Yeah. Yeah. Forget about goals. Forget about goal difference. That's out the window, and they know that. It's about clean sheets, so that rigidness and that sort of stall-like quality of, you know, we are going to be so difficult to score against. That's our main purpose. So actually, the focus isn't actually on our forwards as much, I don't think. So they can then afford to be a bit more business-like and a bit more emotionless, I suppose. And I think it's right to compare it to last season, when there is all the fun of the fair and there's all the goals and the smiles. But we come up short.
But we're turning around now and going, we've come through a very, very difficult week. We've worked our bollocks off to get where we are. And now it's like, you're right, we haven't had to rely on the forward line. But we're now at a point where it wouldn't surprise me if Klopp's gone, no, lads, we're like, get your act together. Yeah. Go out there and score. Stop dicking about. It's not fun. You know, we're not here for a laugh. If you want to win the league, you know, we're not cartwheeling and juggling and, you know, we're not acrobatics. It's this business. Is a serious business. Go on, get the game one.
Yeah.
Go and get the game one. Go and get that's your ball there. See that ball there knocking around there, Mo? That's your ball. Do you want that on your mantelpiece by the end of the day? Well, there you go. It's yours. Yeah. These are right for the taking. Go and take it, mate. Don't fuck about. Go and make it happen. And I think that's happening throughout the entire squad. And here's the thing. Look, there's more of this game to talk about. But honestly, I will talk about a couple of instances maybe a bit later on. But I want to talk about the big stuff. I want to talk about the fact of where we are this season. And I think we've been talking, Ross, now for a number of weeks. And people have been complaining about the style of play and how we're going about achieving it and not clicking, and is the forward line not right, and is the tactics not right, and is the whole setup, and are we over-reliant on the defence, and blah, blah, blah. I'm going to be honest, I have no idea what a title-winning side looks like. I don't know what... we say title-winning form, and I've seen Man United win titles, but I never watched Man United every week. I've never watched Arsenal every week, and I never watched Chelsea every week. The last time we won a league title was in 1990, and I was seven. Yeah. And I've said it plenty of times. Yeah, I was plenty of times. I was there. I saw us lift the trophy. But I've no idea how that title was constructed. I've got no idea whatsoever. And this Liverpool feels very unfamiliar to me. I don't recognise how we're doing this. And I was worried about that because I can only go back on my experience as a football fan and all the Liverpool I've watched. And I've watched a lot of Liverpool over the last, 30 years I've been going to Anfield. And there's a good chance for us that I don't recognise it is because we haven't been this Liverpool before. Mm-hmm. And this is the team, this is how you need to be if you're going to win a Premier League title.
Yeah, I think part of it is playing crap but still getting results. Yeah. And that's what we've done. I think in comparison to last season, the attack compensated for a poor defence, particularly before when Van Dijk came in. It was like, go and get the goals because we know we're going to see two or three. Whereas now we're more mature, astute, tactically aware of what we need to go and do. And every time there's an attack from the opposition now, I'm not worried.
Ruthless is the word.
Yeah, I've not been, with Alisson and Goal, Van Dijk and whoever he's with at centre-half, every time there's an attack, sat there, sound, not worried, not fazed, whereas last season it was change your pants three times a game because you think they're gonna fucking score. Yeah. Or are you going to throw the game away, like we said before, where it's game management. We know what we need to do. We'll either break teams down mentally and physically to go and nick a point, like we've done even with Burnley when we were behind. Well, that's another mentality. You're behind losing a game. We haven't been in that position often, but yet we still go and win it. Or Everton, like, just keep playing tonight. If minute, Bournemouth, we're still winning. Go, Robertson's chasing the ball down in 90th minute in their corner. Yeah. It's elite mentality.
Yeah. That's exactly it.
It's professional, and we did it. It has been since Virgil came in as well. I remember so many times last season, you're watching us playing, you're going, we know, we're seeing games out, we're playing it well, and you're still worried last season with like, oh, we're seeing the games out, oh, we're bringing Matip on, we used to bring him on all the time, and you'd be like, oh, I'm not sure about this, I'm still a bit nervous. Set pieces you were still a bit unsure of. Every set piece now is a goal-scoring opportunity for us. Yeah. It's weird, and everything about the performance, everyone positionally and tactically, like you're saying, Moss, knows what they're doing. It's all one-touch stuff because we can play that way. You're watching Man City go out there, and you've got to equate yourself to them because they are top level in terms of goal scoring and the way they put teams to the sword. And you watch it, that's what we did to Bournemouth. We got the ball and we just sprayed it around. We didn't need to do much running because we were in the positions, we were playing it right, the balls were crisp. And I think we've learned from these Champions League aways where you go in there and we just didn't play well. Napoli was a big one where we just didn't pass the ball well. And we've gone, no, we need to rectify this. If we want to be a top team, there's your mistakes, lads. This is how you change it, and we're doing that. We're learning on the job, but because we've learned and we've been at a top level learning this whole time, we got to a Champions League final last season.
Yeah.
The amount of experience that we'll have given the whole squad.
What we're seeing for the first time, and it's the first time in my lifetime of truly watching Liverpool, is that we're seeing a team fall short at a final hurdle, which we've seen loads of times, and instead of being broken by it, have actually used that as fire to fuel them the second time around, which is what great teams do. Yeah. There's a long season still to go, but you know that it feels like that this team's been forged in the crucible of the Champions League final last season. And rather than going, oh my God, because we saw it in 08-09, we lost more games in the first five games of the season than we did in the entire season, the season before. The title challenge was gone before it even started. 13-14, exactly the same stuff happened again. This time it feels different, and
but that's from the manager. Yeah. That's from our manager.
Well, this is a man.
That's the difference.
This is a man who builds his teams around pain. But yeah. But you know, that is what the buy-in is to this Liverpool team. He says this is all going to hurt like fuck, lads. But you know what? It's going to hurt us all. Yeah. We're all in pain. But you know what? We're all hurting. But don't think your pain is any worse than anyone else's. And the buy-in is this: we're all going to push no matter what. We're talking it, and sometimes people are going to fall, and we're going to pick you up, and we're going to go. And if you've got the strength to lead from the front, then you do that. You might find a time where you just need to ease off a bit, and someone else is going to step forward and take the reins for a week or two till you get yourself back on your feet, etc., etc. And that's what we're built like. And this week that we've just come through, because everyone was talking about, and look, we've got Napoli and Man United, and I will get to all the fear-filled caveats in due course, but let's just talk about where we are right now and the reality of what we've constructed over this past week. I looked at our fixture list and I looked at Watford away, Burnley away and Bournemouth away and said, we have lost all of those games in recent years. Under Klopp, we have lost at every one of those grounds, or we have struggled to win at every one of those grounds. And they're going to be the big telling point. We went away, we constructed a win against Watford. We went away to Burnley and came from a goal behind to construct a very good win against Burnley. And then we went to Bournemouth and we absolutely, you know, in true professional style, demolished them as well. Throw into the mix that last-minute win against Everton, which was completely not of our doing. It was handed to us. Yeah. That was handed to us. But what that starts to form is a picture. And that picture is forming in the minds of Man City players and the Man City coaches, and to judge by social media, a little bit some of the Man City fans as well. Not all, because I don't want to judge them all, because some of them are made of stain and stuff. They have to be. I find it very hard to believe that there aren't Man City players who don't think this is Liverpool's year. Because you are turning up every week and you are smashing teams left, right and centre. You're playing the best attacking football the league's ever seen. You're scoring goals for fun. You're running away with the goal difference trophy, which I'm sure people were prepared to award the other week. They are incredible. They are the best constructed squad, the most expensively constructed squad. They're this, yeah. You know, and I'm not going to get into all the financial dope and stuff, whatever. But effectively, that's it. They have everything. Every advantage has been handed to them and they've got it and they're utilising it. So fair play to them, because it isn't just about what you get handed, it's how you use it as well. And then they watch a week where Liverpool are so close to just being, to dropping points, they're so close to having that gap be so much that they can turn up to the Etihad and it's fine. And then we get given this 96-minute winner. And then we go a goal down to Burnley and they're thinking, ooh, this might be it. And then they look, oh no, they've won. And then they go into the weekend knowing they've got their toughest game looming against Chelsea at the 5:30, and Liverpool just turn up to Bournemouth and just do and win 4-0. And they won't have been, they probably won't have watched that game. They'll just seen four and they'll have gone, oh my God, they're clicking.
Yeah.
Shit, we've got to play Chelsea. And then they have a first half against Chelsea where they batter them. And Chelsea are throwing bodies on the line and keeping everyone out. And then they go in 1-0 down. And then they never come back. They weren't the same team when they came out in the second half. And I find it very difficult to believe. And this is the caveat. It is a very long season. We have not won a trophy for doing this. There is no trophy handed out for being first in mid-December. Nope. There isn't. And nobody thinks there is, by the way, lads. Nobody thinks there is. But a week ago, everyone thought Man City were going to go undefeated for the entire season. No one could see how City were going to drop points. Everyone was looking at how, even if we got the goal, that was going to make a big difference. Liverpool are top of the league, and Liverpool deserve to be top of the league.
We're unbeaten, and we've conceded six, man. We're just so good at football, and I like seeing. I love watching Man City play, but then I love like the way we construct wins, like you're talking about there. The way we play for each other. The way and look, we might go out and play against we might go out of the Champions League and lose to United. It might happen at the end of this week.
Yeah.
But I'm confident this team to carry on going. I'm confident that no one's gonna let it go.
Because we're weak.
No.
Or we're shit. Or we've got players who aren't good enough. Or we've got a manager who doesn't understand us or doesn't get us, or he's not tactically astute enough. Because if we lose, we'll lose because they're two good teams and you can lose to
them. They have to be better than us.
Exactly. And I, because here's the thing, having won that, the fear was, and that's why I think this week was so pivotal, James, was that let's go with the Everton win.
having won a game in let's be honest, massively lucky, freakish fashion, what's meant to happen is Liverpool, who haven't clicked, who've been relying on their defence, the fear is, and maybe it's the hope of Man City, and it's the hope of Chelsea, and it's the hope of Arsenal, it's the hope of all these other teams around us, the hope that Liverpool are on a bit of a law of diminishing returns here, and we're not going to click. All we're doing is we're just struggling along. We're struggling through, and that Everton win should have been like that breaking point. Liverpool, and to then go 1-0 down at Burnley, what's meant to happen is we're meant to lose or draw that game, and then we go make a really hard game, and we maybe lose to Bournemouth. That's what's meant to happen. Liverpool got stronger. Liverpool won a game that they shouldn't have won in the 96th minute, and then faced down a 1-0 deficit and got stronger. And then this could be actually the turning point where you find us actually going up a gear rather than going down a gear. And that means everyone else in the league should be pooing their pants.
Yeah, I don't know if that was a question or just a statement, but I mean, I'm in complete agreement. Yeah. It's just, you know, the season's about moments, and there's moments that change things, define a season. You know, it can be anything, and I think I really think that goal against Everton, in the 96th minute, I think that is one of those moments that really does. They go, actually, you know what, like. People, we weren't supposed to win that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's that little bit of luck. It's that little, those little moments. And, you know, and like you say, you know, we don't know what a title winning side feels like. But if memory serves, teams that I've watched win the league have all those little moments.
Yes.
That's what they have in their seasons. And it really feels like that. And going 1-0, you know, 1-0 down at Burnley, you know, in years previous, that ends up a 1-0 draw, or you know, we batter them and we just can't find that goal. But now, and it's about context, you know. People saying that we haven't clicked, or people, you know, Mo Salah's not on form, Firmino's not, whatever. That's in the context of last season and what we did last season and how much fun that was and how much joy. In the context of this season, these lads are doing exactly what's being asked of them time and time again.
Yeah.
So I'm loving watching the Reds. I haven't been negative at all. Yeah. This is a joyous ride.
Yeah.
Long may it continue.
Every time you talk about that Everton goal, by the way, it just makes me happy. it's
goal of the season, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
there's every time you mention Everton, I just get happy, and it's galvanised everything. I was so disappointed, 0-0, Everton at home, they played well, and then I'm not disappointed, and I don't think I'm going to be disappointed. Even if we lose against United, you say Everton to me, I'll be happy again. And that's the thing, that is the tipping point for me.
What it's done, Ross, this weekend has shown that Man City are not invincible.
No.
They're not. And look, Liverpool are going to lose a game this season in the league. Yeah, we're going to drop points. It'll happen, you know, because it is a long, grueling season. It is going to happen. But what that's done, and I've been saying this for weeks, Chelsea have lost games now, and we were able to just go, okay. City losing, we can just breathe a little bit. No, we don't have breathing room in terms of points at the top of the league. So, you know, we need to enjoy it while it's there for now, because it might not last. But we should all feel more confident that Man City will drop more points as the season progresses, because we were just living in this ridiculous fantasy land where we were both going to go undefeated all season. Liverpool weren't going to win the league because it'd be the most Liverpool thing ever, ever. You know what I mean? And that's what it is. What we should be using this is not a time to be getting, you know, not a time to be booking open top buses. It's a time to reflect. It's a time to take a big, deep breath and rediscover our enjoyment of the whole thing, because there are going to be ups and downs, but there's proof that when the ups happen, there's a very good chance that when the ups happen throughout the rest of the season, Liverpool are probably going to be on top of the league.
Yeah, I think you've got to enjoy it as well, but it also gives confidence to the rest of the league, the fact that I think people give City a game, because that never happened last season. There was us and Wigan, and we both won, and that was it. People lose the game against City. The ball's been kicked because it's either defend and they'll play around you and you get dicked, or you go to try and attack him and you get dicked again. So what are you supposed to do? But this time last season, the league was finished. Yeah. They're not used to having pressure on them. Yeah. And particularly when I'm saying that we're playing crap, well, no, we're still there niggling away. And then, like you said, you know, 4-0 performance at Bournemouth. Well, go on, it's your turn now. Go and see what you're made of, and they lost.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's big pressure on us now. There's one thing to be the team that's chasing. Mm. There's another team to be the team that's being chased. We should treat this as a very, very exciting thing, to be fair. I don't feel like we're this team lacks for mentality. We should be good. Before we kind of wrap up, there's one moment from the game, actually, I just want to bring up before we go. Alisson's header, lads. Alisson's header.
All right, won't
it? Oh, my God.
I want to know how high his head actually got there. It must have been, like, how tall is he already? He's, like, 6'3".
It's, like, 6'3", 6'4".
It's like that clip of Virgil van Dijk when he was heading that speedball thing and things. It's like,
and the knee as well in the ribs. Yeah. I love that. Just hate the centre forward. Don't challenge me. I'm a big 6'3" goalkeeper with immaculate hair and beard. Bang. Don't. he is... just one of he's another one who's taken this team and just elevated it from the bottom level, the bottom rung, and just gone, bang, we're going to stay on top of you now. And he's always there. Everyone trusts him. Everyone knows what he's going to do. The fact that Robertson pushes higher up into space because he knows the ball's getting there to his feet. We can play out the back just so well. He is the one for me. And obviously Van Dijk's in there, but them two as a pairing. Just, you talk about centre-back pairings, it's that three, Gomez and Alisson, just going, bang, there we are, no one's getting through us this season, and no one has. They've been stupid, by the Champions League, they've been stupid goals, or late goals that haven't really mattered, and that, for me, as someone who loves defensive football, in terms of being tight and compact, and that kind of, this has been the best season for me watching, no mistakes, just everyone playing for each other.
And we're starting to see the new lads, blooded in, you know. We're starting to see, you know, that was another decent performance for Keita. It was another decent performance for Fabinho. Another really good performance for Jane Shaqiri as well. This is Liverpool starting to click into gear. Yeah. Would anyone accuse Liverpool of being anywhere near fourth or fifth gear this season?
No, not in the slightest.
And yes, some big challenges to come on the horizon because we're a big team in big games. At the business end of big competitions, every game's a big game. Every game's a tough game. This is what it's like if you're not down with that. Sunday league's amazing. You know, you can turn up bladdered, and it doesn't matter if you get beat 12-0 because you know the pride is just in taking to the field. No, this is what it feels like to be a good team, to have important matches to play, and long may that continue. So yeah, gents, an absolute pleasure.
Always is when we're winning.
Isn't it just? That's been brilliant. I hope you've enjoyed it. And yes, as I say, it is Freeview Week. There's so much great content coming that we normally have on the RedmenTV.com. We want to give you guys on YouTube a little bit of a closer look at the things. We talk about it all the time. Obviously, we know that it's not the paywall things, not for everyone, but you know, we like to showcase what we do. And what better time? Obviously, Napoli looming, Man United looming, and Liverpool being top of the Premier League. What a time to be a Red, and what a time to be involved with the Redmen TV. Yes, plenty more to come. As I say, if you're enjoying what you're seeing on Freeview Week and you do want to subscribe, go to the RedmenTV.com setup. You get the first month then free as well. So you get loads of extra stuff. There's interviews with Jürgen Klopp, with Lucas Leiva. John Barnes just got on there recently as well. So yeah, thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for subscribing. And I'll see you all soon.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloane.